Tonight on Life on the Rock, we have Father Christopher Scythe, part two. He'll give a reflection and much more. Welcome to Life on the Rock. Tonight, our guest is Father Christopher Scythe. He's written a book, Rekindling Wonder, and this is addressing the issue of the overwhelming screen time that we have today and the effects that sometimes negative effects that can have on our spiritual lives. So this week, we're talking about a solution, how to find God, how to rekindle this wonder of God, the world around us, and people around us. We're now going to a reflection with Father Chris.
Okay, so what's a good prayer tip for those of us saturated by our screens, right? Living in a world saturated by our screens. I think one thing that can be really helpful is to recognize that prayer does not mean thinking about God. A lot of times we go to prayer as if we're in front of a screen and we're just gonna get more and more information about God until it excites me about him, right? And so I'm reading a scripture passage and I have to just keep reading it and thinking about it and figuring things out about it and making all these connections until I can somehow turn that into loving God. But what ends up happening is that I'm not actually engaged in that relationship anymore. And so the invitation, I think, is to recognize prayer does not mean thinking about God. It means letting God draw us to himself. So the Catechism says that God is always pursuing us first. He is the one that initiates prayer. And so we have to be attentive to what is drawing us to prayer. Why am I here in the first place? Who do I want to encounter? What do I want from him? What is happening as I'm reading this scripture passage? And what happens when I share that with the Lord? So important that we keep it in relationship so that when we're approaching God, we're approaching a person and not an idea.
Father Chris, welcome back to Life on the Rock.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it, Father.
We kind of ended with a big cliffhanger last week. And we've been talking about the problem with all the screen time and the disconnection, even within ourselves, you know, maybe from one another, from God, if we're overdoing it.
Yeah.
And maybe at the heart of it, you talked about a quote from Joseph Pieper about curiosity.
Yes.
Tell us about that vice.
So it's more for him, he looks at curiosity not just as, oh, I'm interested in something, but really he says that it's a degeneration of the natural wish to see. Mm-hmm. And so there's this desire we have to see, right? To know another, which is ultimately to become united to the other, right? To really know someone, we're united to that person. And there's a degeneration of that knowledge into curiosity. Mm-hmm. We're just getting more and more information. And he says that that may be much more than a harmless confusion on the surface of the human being. It may be the sign of complete rootlessness, that we have lost our capacities of living with ourselves.
Yeah.
And he says that in flight from ourselves, from himself, nauseated and bored by the void of an interior life gutted by despair, man is seeking with selfish anxiety and on a thousand futile paths that which is given only to the noble stillness of a heart held ready for sacrifice. And so he says, we're looking for this fullness of life, but that requires sacrifice. And we find that fullness of life in seeing and in flight from that, right? So this is what we talked about, acedia. Because that's hard, because true knowledge of the other is hard because it involves transcendence of self, union with the other, we limit ourselves just to information and just gathering as much information as we can and pretending that that's what we're looking for.
Yeah. And even like being outside and seeing beauty, it calls us out of ourselves, right? In this screen world, we're just always assembling at what we want to see and stuff.
Yeah. And this is, I think, one of the dangers. We were just talking about, like, well, can you evangelize in front of a screen? I mean, obviously, everybody watching this is in front of a screen,
right?
So turn off your TVs. Like, turn off the. No, the question has to be, when someone is evangelizing, is he doing so in such a way that the person leaving after watching that, after listening to that podcast, is going to be invited to a place of silence and quiet and stillness, or will he want just more information?
Yeah.
I think that's a really important question for the Catholic evangelizer who's using these media to evangelize.
Right.
Is he inviting someone to a life of faith, or just is he puffing up with more knowledge about the faith, but actually not giving faith?
Yeah. And maybe we'll just go on with the problem a little bit more. Maybe part of the thing, I think maybe we have this emptiness, right? We're not rooted in God. We haven't had this encounter.
Right.
And so now, maybe in times past, like a simpler, maybe agrarian culture can protect the person more, can maybe make their life more wholesome, fulfilling, natural. And but now we have this high tech that just jumps in there, makes a profit off of it. And so it's just like another danger out there to a problem that man's always had this, right? To not hide themselves in the Garden of Eden, but the Father's saying, where are you?
Right.
You know, he's searching for us, right? Yes. So he sends us Jesus to bring us back to himself. But we're on these screens, right? I don't have time for Jesus. So what's the solution? Let's talk solution.
And I think that's actually a beautiful way to maybe jump into it of like, right, Jesus is constantly searching for us. He's looking for us. He's right, the good shepherd that goes after the lost sheep. And so to realize, as we're running away from ourselves, we're running away from God.
Yeah.
That what a lot of times, so in my work in spiritual direction, what a man or a woman will find in spiritual direction is that what they thought, where the place that they thought God was absent and that they just don't want to be because there's just such a wound or such loneliness and they're just, I don't want to be there. That's just Jesus living his own life in the person, right? His own exile, right? His union with us in our brokenness. And so the answer ultimately, so the Desert Fathers say that the answer to the vice of acedia is to just stay in oneself.
Yeah.
Like you're a monk, you just stay in your cell. I don't care what you do, just stay there. And I think for us in our culture, it's okay, I'm constantly running away from myself. I hate myself. I'm just like busying myself with all these things. Okay, I just need to sit with myself, you know, for a little bit of time, and I'll find God there. So the incarnation is the answer,
right? Right.
God coming to us in our humanity.
Right. Because you're right, in Acedia's kingdom, the spiritual sloth, the citizens have been blinded to the goodness of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think like Mother would talk about this, Mother Angelica, just to live in the present moment. I mean, that's where we find God. I think to thank God for things in our life and be just attentive. Like, what am I doing now? And I find when I do that and I'm not like racing ahead, thinking about the future, I start to appreciate the life I have, right? And I think we appreciate ourselves more, maybe God's goodness or giftedness he's given to us.
Yeah.
And I think about, like you said too, that Thomas thought the solution to acedia is faith, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you think in the commandments, the third commandment, he places under the third commandment, that we keep holy the Sabbath day, that's a seventh day rest.
Mm-hmm.
We can make an idol of work, even in the Garden of Eden, right?
Yes.
And so we need to take that break and spend it with God, to have a resting in God.
Right.
That's the solution.
Right. And this is the beauty of, right? So woman in the garden, woman is given to man so that his dominion over creation would be an act of love, right? It's not just he's working. No, he is lovingly being creative in having dominion over the earth. And so the danger is, you know, to make an idol of work, to basically do all these things without love, right? That we're living in isolation.
Yeah.
And so faith joining us to Jesus draws us into, like we talked about last time, that love story, God's love story, so that we can rest in communion. The goal of work is for rest,
right?
Ultimately.
Right. And you have a beautiful quote from Pope Benedict, Cardinal Ratzinger. He was writing about that, well, his encyclical on the Eucharist. Mm-hmm. And he says, you know, living in accordance with the Lord's Day means living in awareness of the liberation brought by Jesus Christ and making our lives a constant self-offering to God, so that his victory may be fully revealed to all humanity through a profoundly renewed existence. That, you know, we live in this constant self-offering. I mean, to me, that because I was just trying in my own prayer life, because we have adoration all the time here, just to sit in silence and listen.
Yeah.
You know, and I found myself when I was doing that, I naturally kind of offer myself to God. It's like, okay, speak, Lord, your servant's mm-hmm. listening. I'll ask, well, God, what do you want to tell me today? This is what I got going on in the hamster wheel up here. maybe I'll tell him that, but then I'll sit and listen and rest in him. And it is powerful.
No, it is.
Yeah.
And I think, right, that self-offering to God that happens in the awareness of his love for us, right? Living in the awareness of God's love for us and making our lives a constant self-offering, because when you behold beauty, you can't but give yourself, right? Mm-hmm. You like, that's the natural movement is offering of self to the beauty that we behold. And so I think there is a profoundly renewed existence that we experience on the Lord's Day.
Yeah.
Precisely by entering into that love story.
Yeah. You think about it natural. You see a beautiful sunset or something in the woods, and you pause.
Yes.
And also, I'm not thinking about myself.
Right.
It's like I'm contemplating this, and it's like calling you to go farther.
That's right.
To God. And that beauty's got to be three-dimensional, doesn't it? I mean, it can't be just on our screens, right?
Yeah.
So, like digitized, as you say.
Yeah, we need to be immersed in it.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with Father Chris in just a moment. Father Chris, I really thought at the end of the show we would destroy our cell phones together.
Nice, just, let's go.
That's not your solution.
No,
right?
It is not.
You have a more positive solution.
I do, yeah. Ultimately, yeah, what we were talking about before the break of just living a life of faith, mm-hmm. which means living in this capacity to offer ourselves to another, right? To surrender ourselves to God.
Yeah.
And so what our spiritual practices need, like, can follow from that, knowing the experience of entrusting oneself to God, to another. Now I have the freedom to say, okay, wait, when I do this with my phone, it pulls me out of that disposition of trust, out of that disposition of faith, right? When I am wasting time, when my phone is in this room, when I'm, you know, checking things on my phone right up to Mass, I'm not able to enter into the sacred liturgy, right? So I think there's some spiritual practices that we can put into practice in order to preserve the relationship of trust that we have with God and others.
Yeah.
So the answer ultimately, like I said, it's just faith. It's living by faith.
Yeah. I know sometimes, like, I'm working at my desk, I'm trying to work on something, I'll just turn the monitor off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get tired of working, you just want to, you know, maybe surf something and just, so there's little things we can do knowing our own weaknesses or maybe working in a different space or something mm-hmm. that doesn't constantly tempt us. But so there's a certain digital fasting.
Right? Yeah, I was going to say, definitely, I think, you know, Advent, Lent, great mm-hmm. times to practice some digital fasting. Mm-hmm. One thing that I think we have to be attentive to is that when we distance ourselves from our devices, we will feel our vulnerability much more, right? So even though faith is the answer, it doesn't seem to be as efficient an answer as our devices, right? We're going to feel the loneliness more. We're going to feel less safe, in a sense. And we need to enter into that experience of adventure.
Right.
In order to really experience the fullness of life,
right?
If because our phones, our technology gives us a false sense of security, but at the end of the day, our lives are in God's hands.
Yeah.
And so if we don't know that security, because we've just grown so accustomed to other forms of security, we're not going to be able to live really with a strong faith and with the fullness of life.
Yeah. You know, sometimes too, I know I'm a religious, you know, we pray in community, we pray the divine office and rosary and things. And so you can have a lot of content to prayer. And I think, I'm thinking more now along the lines, okay, Mark, why don't you talk to God right now? Just tell him what's going on, what's bothering you? Because I think that's part of it too. Mm-hmm. It's like, at the end of the day, I'm still hanging on maybe to some conversations that troubled me or some situation. I never brought it to Jesus, right?
No, that's right.
I never kind of bring the inside out, you know, and talk to him. And I'm amazed how powerful that is, just to find, and if it's like a bigger problem, maybe there's some fault in me.
Sure.
Find a scripture passage. And I've done this where I'll Google. I'll say, give me a scripture passage on whatever.
Sure, yeah.
And
yeah,
it'll
good use
pop
of Google.
Up. Yeah, I mean, AI, yes, powerful.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah.
The Protestants are so good about this, but just to take that passage and to pray with it.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I need to take the lowest place here. Maybe I'm trying to be front and center. My pride's getting me in trouble. Mm-hmm. Jesus says, take the lower place and let the master of the house come and, you know, lift you higher.
Yeah.
So just to find a scripture passage that addresses it, you know, he speaks to us that way.
And then to be able to sit with that scripture passage.
Yeah.
To look it up. Okay, found it. And now I'm just going to let that sink in. Where is there in my heart resistance to that? Where is there apathy to that? Where is there joy in that? Right. All these different reactions we can have to the Word of God.
Yeah.
That in order for the Word of God to penetrate us like it penetrated Our Lady, we have to be really vulnerable and exposed. All the parts of our hearts have to be exposed to the Word. And that just takes time for things to come up.
Yeah, yeah. But the key is like turning to God with it. You know, getting real with it, right?
Yeah.
And not when we flight to just to get some kind of dopamine hit somewhere. You talk about eating and everything else, you know.
Yeah.
And then the whole pornography industry today, you know, is just tearing people up, young and old.
Yeah, speaking of dopamine hits, right? I mean, it's just like such a strong source of attraction, and it's preying on a good desire, right? The desire to see, again, it's this desire to see beauty, and it's just this false beauty that it holds up without the need for sacrifice.
Right.
And so there's no communion happening, there's no sacrificial love happening, and so it remains on a superficial level.
Yeah.
And it really damages everyone involved, of course, you know, but yeah, I think what you were saying, just the being real, just with God, is so important. We see this in the prophets, you know, Jonah, like, you know, angry at God.
And
you're like, you know, but they're just so real with him.
You know, one of our guests pointed out recently too, on the road to Emmaus, Jesus is walking, they're downcast, troubled. You know, Jesus was just crucified, and he's walking with them out of Jerusalem. So he walks with us, and we're going the wrong direction, right?
Good. Yes.
So then they see him in the breaking of bread, they turn around, they come back, you know. And but I love that idea that Jesus doesn't say, okay, you're gonna walk away, you know.
Yeah.
He goes with us.
That's right.
And he wants to bring us back. And I think too, connecting with other people. And like, you know, when people talk about like COVID and everything, the impact on our young people is making harder them just to have conversations, to connect with people and things. But I think that's a solution too, is to reach out to others. And I think in evangelizing others too, sometimes I think we can think of like reaching out to others as this big deal, but it could just be someone within our sphere of influence, right? Calling them up, maybe meeting them, connecting with them.
Right.
And so that kind of connection too is a solution.
Right. Yeah. And that's, I think, again, where our technology can be really useful in order to facilitate a person-to-person connection.
Yeah.
You know, this is, the goal has to be this communion,
right?
Where we're able to be together truly.
Yeah.
And so these things can facilitate that.
Right. And you remind me in the book, you know, that I think St. Therese talked about, without sacrifice, there is no love, mm-hmm. right? And you really bring it to bear on all these interactions, as there's out that choice that if we want to build communion, yeah. at the heart of the kingdom is the crucifixion, right? When he's lifted up, he'll draw all men
That's
to
right.
himself.
That's right.
So to have that willingness to give to others in some way,
yeah.
you know, it doesn't have to be dramatic or yeah. anything. But
and to give them also the capacity to give to me, right? So this yeah. sacrifice means being able to be hurt by another. I mean, this is what we see on the cross, is Jesus making himself so vulnerable.
Right.
But he, in doing that, his heart remains open to love, mm-hmm. first and foremost, to be loved by the Father, but also to be loved by us. And we have to have that same vulnerability. And if we close ourselves in ourselves through our yeah. devices, we're not living a sacrificial life. We're not living a Christian life.
Right, right. Now, you're working with young men. We got about a couple of minutes left mm-hmm. at John Paul II Seminary. What do you see coming in, maybe some of their struggles that are yeah. typical among
yeah.
us?
Yeah, I mean, you can, right, it's all the struggles that everybody yeah. everybody has, every, you know, yeah. all the that we all have, right?
Yeah.
And but what's beautiful is this earnestness. So the men in their first year of formation spend a year without a phone.
Mm.
And they look forward to it.
Yeah.
There is this recognition, something's off. Mm-hmm. And they're hoping that the church can provide an answer. Like there's such a moment and an opportunity that we have to restore humanity to its proper dignity. And the people are looking to the church, our young men are looking to us to have humanity restored in Christ.
Yeah.
And so it's a beautiful gift to see them and that really the Holy Spirit working in their hearts, drawing them to
yeah.
the Father.
That's a great point. And you're forming future priests to address this issue. The church is going to, you know, has an answer for it. We just need to get it out there. But keep up the good work.
Thank you so much, Father Mark.
Thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Well, this week we tried to give the solution to the problem that screens can sometimes give us, you know, in this modern world. And the answer is to have this relationship with God, a vibrant, real relationship that we rest in Him, we're rooted in Him. You know, we always have two choices before us. Technology can be used for good or evil. And they can't save us, right? We need God for a Savior, and we need to be transformed in order to use this technology in a proper way that builds up a healthy culture, that builds up humanity and connection with others. So I'll send you into that vineyard with a blessing. May our Heavenly Father shine His face upon you. May He give you His peace. May He fill your hearts with every good gift and grace. And may God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We'll see you next week on Life on the Rock.
What do you want me to be? Said I'm ready.